Y'all are doing a good job.
We're doing a good job?
Yeah.
That's good.
Well, you tell us what's going to happen with the rain.
That's true. That's
true. Somebody must be doing something about it.
It looks like we might have another chance of rain today, too, but we'll see what happens there. You got a 50-50 chance, so flip a coin and we'll go from that, I guess.
Yeah, I know. There's some rain in the panhandle of Texas kind of moving this way, but we'll see if it gets this far.
Yeah, it might not, but yeah, never know. What's going on in the garden this week?
Oh, golly, there's a lot going on this week. As every week, with the exception of July and August.
Yeah.
And we're going to get our first taste of fall this coming week.
Okay.
I really can't wait.
I'm kind of excited, too.
Yeah, the nighttime temperatures, where are they going to be down to?
Tonight, 72, and then, I guess tomorrow, 72 as well. It's kind of in the low 70s from here on out, it looks like.
Not that crispy yet. When it gets down to the 40s, that's when you know fall is
now
there.
Thursday, it was supposed to be a low around 56.
There we go. Now we're getting there. Okay. With that in mind, we need to do, you need to get on the ball about these pre-emergent herbicides because the nighttime temperatures are getting cool and they're going to be sprouting. So things like the prodiamine and whatnot like that to control those wascally weeds and the spoying. So we need to be retroactive and not get all upset when they come up everywhere and just get mad at yourself for not doing it right now at this time of year when it should be done. So anyway, get after that if you don't want a bunch of weeds. We've sold a lot of prodiamine this year. Mm-hmm. Comes in a big old yellow bag, covers 10,000 square feet.
Wow.
I don't remember the price, but it's not that much. But anyway, it's a lot cheaper than yelling at yourself for not getting it done.
That's the price we pay.
Exactly. So that's what we need to be doing in the lawn right now. We don't really need to be watering our grass. I've already shut down one sprinkler system this year. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. If we get continued rain, you really won't need it. I haven't watered my yard. I think I watered it twice this year.
Yeah.
I haven't watered it at all. The Bermuda grass has been it's a very drought tolerant grass. It's done quite well this summer. We have a caller?
We do have a caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the Green Country Gardener. How can we help you?
Yes, I have a water heater for sale.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's the wrong program. Consumer call starts at 9 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
So if you just want to hold on to that, we'll get you back shortly.
Okay, so just call back at 9 o'clock?
Yes, sir. Sorry about that.
That's okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, talk about being in hot water. It's also in the lawn. It's time to establish that fescue grass.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got a customer for whom we've done this. This week will be the third time, thanks to the rain.
Yeah. So much rain.
So much for that. Yeah, the river's going to be real pretty and green, but anyway. So it's time to get the seed established.
Okay.
Now, to do that, you really need to make sure that there are really no weeds around. You want to pretty well clear cut it, if you will, and then till it up to a point. You just really can't throw the seed on the ground. You're not feeding pigeons. You're trying to grow a lawn, and you need to do the preparation properly for that lawn. We did a fescue lawn, and that's been 8 years ago, and I drove by it yesterday. Customer down the road had a sticky sprinkler system, so and it was still nice and green fescue lawn in the shade, beautiful. The important thing is to have it properly prepared. We also put a sprinkler system in, mm-hmm. which helps a lot, and they have a rain sensor, all that on it too, to cut it off when it rains. So it looks still very nice. So proper preparation is a prerequisite in the procedure.
Okay. And what are the proper preparations in the procedure?
The proper preparations prior to the planting of the pretty... Get out of here.
Yeah.
It's to do maybe a 4-inch till of the ground. Get that area tilled up. Because that in the nature of our soil, that's the area that tends to compact real bad. And the grass roots simply can't grow in concrete. So you need to prepare the soil. And in that preparation, you want to do about a 2-inch layer of a compost.
Okay.
Now, how do you determine how much compost will you measure your surface area? Here we go in the math business.
Yes.
and multiply it by 0.083. And that'll give you the quantity in bags of how much compost you're going to need. It's okay. Very simple. You got 1,000 square feet, 0.0, you need 8, whatever the bags is. Yeah, 0.083 would be 8 bags, I think. So I'll have to figure that out.
The math is starting to confuse us a little bit.
It's too early in the morning for that. Come on. So anyway.
So carry the one.
Yeah, carry the one.
Add, yeah.
So and what that does is it maintains the open by adding organic material. Mm-hmm. Soil is a mixture of clay, of course, sand, loam, and silt. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the soil around here has a great deal of clay and silt in it. Very little sand, very little organic material. So we need to add, in some cases, even some sand to the soil. But they're organic material to keep the looseness of the soil, to keep it open. And when the grass grows and gets down into there, it'll sort of maintain that, if you will. It has in this one and several of them we've done for a good number of years. So you really need to kind of, it's going to take some back work. You need to sort of kind of bite the bullet and really make an intensive effort at getting the grass to grow. Because if you tried year after year after year after year and you wind up feeding the birds and the squirrels and keeping the river nice and green, then you must be doing something wrong. Mm-hmm. Another thing you want to look at is the tree canopy above. If you don't have any dappled light. Dappled light is the penetration of some sunshine into the surface area of the soil. The fescue grass tolerates shade. I say the word tolerate. It doesn't thrive in it. It just tolerates it. And the more sun you can give it, the better off it'll be. There are some pretty good-looking Bermuda or the fescue lawns growing in full sun here in town. Had to water the hound out of it, but it grows in full sun. So it has to have at least dappled light. So if you don't have that, you need to call a tree expert to go in and thin out the tree canopy so you can have some grass.
Right, and I'm trying to think of some, like, dappled light anyway. Does it have to be, like, a lot of, when you say dappled, do you mean, like, more light coming through the trees or just, like, a little bit of light?
About half and half.
About half and half? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, when you were at the zoo, you remember the giraffe.
Right.
Or the leopard, that kind of a look to it.
Okay, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So do that. Pre-emergent herbicides cannot be put on the fescue lawns at this point, the new ones, that is, because it stops the growth of basically everything. So
don't want to do that.
If you're really good, I got that grass out there, and I'm not going to have any weeds. I put down pre-emergent, and nothing happened.
Yeah, you defeated the purpose of what you were trying to do in the first place. Yeah,
the pre-emergent, they stop the germination process, so you really want to make sure you don't do that. Yeah. And if you have applied pre-emergence in the soil within the last 3 months, you're not going to get the grass to grow either. Mm-hmm. So you need to make sure that it's kind of free of that too. So tolerate a few weeds for a little while as it grows.
Right.
And then you can use post-emergence and whatnot, pre-emergence later on to get it out of there. So
there's a time for everything.
Now, also, fertilization, it is not the time to fertilize up Bermuda grass.
Okay.
So you don't want it to grow right now. The Bermuda grass is winter hardy to the point where only when it has good stolon growth on it. Stolons are those little runners in the top of the ground.
Right.
And they can get killed off by a spring dead spot fungus. It is going to snow this winter, you know.
So I've heard.
Have you looked at the woolly worms? Oh, they're just covered. You can make a fur coat out of just one of them. I mean, so, yeah, it's going to be, I think, and also the water in the Pacific's a little bit warm.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to have some good snow this year. But anyway, with that in mind.
When was the last time we had to get snow anyway?
2011, I think.
Pretty sure that's right.
2012, they had like that winter.
About a foot of snow, felt like. That was maybe a little bit of exaggeration.
Well,
but
I had a drift off the roof. That mm-hmm. was, it went up and it was actually a single mound from the roof down to there. So that was a lot of snow. I think it's still melting in the backyard.
Here's some 8 years later.
So anyway, fertilizing that fescue grass is important right now. And I'd like to use, 16-8-8 fertilizer. I wouldn't use urea or anything heavy on it. unless you really plan to calibrate your spread very carefully and not over apply the fertilizer. Mm-hmm. The problem with over fertilizing is it makes it more susceptible to fungus and so on.
Okay.
And watering the grass too, sort of like our rain patterns here. We have rain and then a dry, then a rain and then a dry. You want to let the surface of the soil dry out between waterings. You don't want a constant moisture level. Imagine walking around in with wet shoes every single day. What happens to your feet?
Yeah, it says they prune.
They stink. They
they
stink.
They also stink. Yeah, that's also true.
And that's the result of fungal growth in there. So you really want to let it dry out between waterings. So take some time and monitor the watering. I was at a house. They water every single day.
Right.
And they had a pipe. It just wore out. The pipe breaking.
I didn't see that.
And unfortunately, the pipe broke below a tree. Uh-huh. So we had to do a bypass.
Yeah.
Bypass surgery on the sprinkler system. And it worked fine. It no leaks. Got rid of that leak. In fact, it's been a persistent leak, I think, for years. But we have not been able to pinpoint it because it was so slow.
Until it, like, got worse.
Yeah, then it started to get worse. And so there you got to do something about this. So we started probing and digging around and got it kind of narrowed to a point. And that's totally the bad news. The only way to do this is to do a bypass.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, my husband's been through that, so it's no big deal. Hey, guy. But anyway, we did that. We used a PEX pipe. Because we had to go a little bit shallow. There's a retaining wall there. So we elbowed it up and used a section of a one-inch PEX pipe in there.
It's kind of like open ground surgery, if you will.
I guess so.
I thought you would like that.
Yeah, good call there. So that will avoid any freeze problems with the pipe being shallower. The other option was going all the way around the tree. But what that would do would actually kind of girdle the root system of the tree. So we chose not to do that, just to take the shortest route, the path of least disturbance on the tree. Mm-hmm. So it worked out fine.
Okay.
Cranked right up, no leaks.
That's good. Mm. Is there anything else people should be doing with their fescue grass?
Fescue grass right now, you could use, on established fescue grass, you could use a pre-emergent to help keep the weeds out. However, most people's fescue lawns are in the shade, so there's not a really big problem with weeds in the shade. They're smarter than that. They don't grow in the shade that much. But if you do have a problem with some weeds, if it's not that bad a problem, just pull them.
Yes, and that it goes back to the pre-emergence that you were talking about. Just take your time. It's going to be all right.
Yeah, because if there's not that many weeds, just don't get out all these chemicals. Just pull it. That's kind of what I do with mine. I just pull them up and let the mower shred them and bag them up.
That's the easy way to do it.
Yeah, so that's kind of it with the lawns.
Tell you what, Larry, how about we take a quick break and we'll be right back. Yeah. And, you're listening to the Green Country Gardener.
Brent Walker's in from United Rentals. And, Brent, why would somebody want to rent as opposed to just going out buying a piece of gear?
Rentals works great just for the one-time use, two-time use type person versus laying out that kind of dollars for bigger and heavier equipment.
Weather around Oklahoma can cause power outages, and you've got generator for people.
We have generators from the small, we call them suitcase size, all the way up to large to run buildings, homes, businesses. So we can get you taken care of with generators.
United Rentals in Bartlesville, 3801 Southeast Nowata Road. Call to reserve your equipment rentals, 918-333-9580.
Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has summer sale items to get your garden growing. Save 30% off select trees in stock. Save 30% off crepe myrtles, butterfly bushes, hydrangeas, clematis, gardenias, grapes, and herbs. Get flowering baskets at $14.99 for a 10-inch basket and $19.99 for a 12-inch basket. Check out their glass and metal art, too. 30% off. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road. Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants and more. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5:30. Sunday, noon to 5.
When you need the help of a good mechanic, ABS Performance is where you need to go. They can do everything from a simple oil change to a full-blown transmission and engine replacement. No job is too big or small, and having the right mechanic for general and complete automotive care is important. They'll keep your vehicle up to date on oil changes and routine maintenance. Seek the help of a good mechanic. Head to ABS Performance on Price Road next to the Washington Park Mall in Bartlesville. Phone number 918-333-4420.
Each day, this town wakes up to new possibilities, and Sparklight high-speed internet is right there with you. Now get 100 megs for only $45 a month for 6 months. Call 855-808-2737 for fast, reliable internet. Plus, you can add unlimited data. Stream on multiple devices, all at the same time, any time of day. Cable One is now Sparklight. Call 855-808-2737 or visit sparklight.com. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
And it's 8:25 on a Saturday. You're listening to the Green Country Gardener on your radio. I got Larry Glass with me, the man with the emerald thumb. And we have a caller, but before we get to that call, just really quick, we want to mention the number 918-336-1400 is the number to call. You can also call the toll-free number if you want to get on the air this morning and get your gardening questions answered at 1-800-749-5936. Those numbers again, 918-336-1400 and 1-800-749-5936. We won't keep the caller waiting any longer. Good morning, caller. You're on the radio.
Hi. Hi. This is Larry.
Good morning.
Good morning, Larry. This autumn clematis that we have around town.
Oh, yes,
It's beautiful. And here, I know it's only about 3 weeks in bloom, but I'd like to get it started in my yard. On a chance, anyway. You don't sell autumn clematis.
No, we don't sell it. It's in this neck of the woods, it's considered a pest. So,
oh, I love that.
I know it's pretty plant. It smells wonderful too. I've got one. I have one growing in my backyard. But what you can do at this point, the seeds are forming on it at this point.
Okay.
And if you know of some somewhere where you can get some seeds.
Yeah, I know a bunch of it.
Oh yeah, because it's not going to do anything till next year anyway. So you might as well just take some seeds from the existing plants.
Get a sheet under it and shake it?
Yeah, you can do that. Or just kind of pick them and put them in a bag or something. And go home and just kind of work them lightly into the soil. And then they'll...
Now or in the spring?
Do it now. Just follow the natural cycle. And they will go ahead and bloom in the spring or come up and bloom. And they'll probably go ahead and bloom in 1 year, really. But I know, I keep pulling the stuff up in my backyard. It comes up every year.
Well, I don't mind. I can mow it down.
But when it does bloom, it's really quite fragrant. It's also called Virgin's Bower.
Virgin's Bower?
But we call it just fall-blooming clematis. Basically, technically what it is, really, is a fall-blooming clematis.
I just we've got it down the pathway, and the old growth going into the school is massive.
Yeah.
If you harness that smell, I'd make a good perfume.
It's somewhat reminiscent of jasmine.
I love it.
Uh-huh.
And Marzilla is lucky. We have a lot of it.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Not in my yard. That's where I want it.
I've been noticing it's beginning a little bit more prevalent over time. So there's a plant down south called the jessamine, and it's sort of doing the same thing. It blooms in spring and summer.
It won't bloom here?
It will, but it's not quite hardy here. It'll freeze out. So it's called the Gelsemium sempervirens. Some people call it Carolina jasmine, but it's really Carolina jessamine.
Okay.
And it has a yellow flower on it. It's kind of fragrant, but it's just kind of semi-hardy here. It might make it, it might not.
Does this stay a bush through the year?
Which one?
The jasmine.
The jessamine? Yes, it does.
Okay.
It's a vine, and it has a somewhat of a triangular leaf on it, and it... kind of evergreen looking also, but it can be a really nice plant. If you really want to try the jessamine, it'll grow on the southern exposure.
Okay.
It needs some warmth in the wintertime. That's kind of why that you want to do that.
you don't have that, do you?
Currently, we don't. We carry it spontaneously in the spring. We might have some, depending on the demand. If we get a good demand for it, we'll get it. And then,
well, maybe today, advertising it, we might.
Yeah, and we'll sell it with a warning. It might not make it.
Got you. Well, thank you, Larry.
All right. Thank you for calling.
And, of course, if you have any calls for the gardener, the man with the emerald thumb, I should say, call 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. And that kind of touches on our next topic, Larry, that you kind of wanted to get to, and that was what people should be doing in the garden right now.
Doing in the garden right now, time to plant those bulbs for the next spring. Also time to fertilize them. Mm-hmm. It's less time to do any pruning, if you will. You could do some minor pruning on your boxwoods and your junipers and whatnot. Don't prune the burning bush because they're getting ready to burn, baby, burn. They exhibit those red leaves in the fall, so don't trim those back quite yet. Right. I know I've got some at my house. Some of them I've let grow into a tree form. It's about eight feet tall. And over there by the fence, I keep them about 4 feet tall.
Okay.
And they those wascally wabbits get whacked back really far in the wintertime. So they don't get so just huge. And when you do that, I found that really it's better for them if you just cut them back occasionally, because they have really nice, thick, stocky stems on them, mm-hmm. and just lots of leaves. And it tends to be a little healthier if you cut back the burning bush significantly over time. So, but don't do it now. Do it after it blooms. The trees are getting ready to bloom, too. Maple trees and all that, and it's up to you guys to give us some cool nights for some good fall color.
Yeah, we'll try to do that.
That's not happening right
probably
away,
until
though,
Thursday, yeah. You got to wait just a little bit longer.
It's not quite not happening too much. And we've had adequate precipitation for good fall color. We just now, and the leaves are in pretty good shape. We have had some leaf anthracnose on the maple trees,
mm-hmm.
but not a big percentage of the leaves were affected. I know I have one in the front yard that's just dropping black leaves all every week from the stem and from the leaf anthracnose. But it's just a common occurrence. It's not life-threatening to the tree. But there's still plenty of leaves on it to give you some color.
Right.
Okay. Another thing of that somebody's house and their saucer magnolia is blooming a little bit here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And I just told them, just enjoy the flowers you have right now. There's plenty of buds still on the plant, so it'll still put on a big show in the spring. But you will get some really just a little pop out here and there in the fall on the saucer magnolia, as well as the star magnolias. The regular grandifloras, the big evergreen ones, they're about done blooming.
Okay.
There's not much to do with them at this point. But one thing that's affecting them in a lot of trees, and I've noticed a more prevalent occurrence is borers this year, and they're attacking the oddest plants.
Right.
Typically, they don't really attack the plants they are this year. I've noticed that on the green giant arborvitaes, which is very rare for them to have any problems at all. I mean, they are the cast iron of plants, if you will. But some critters moved in that likes to burrow into the little things, and it sets them back somewhat. And if it gets too severe, you'll have a spontaneous brown branch on your arborvitae plants here and there.
Right.
And that's caused from a borer problem. And I've gotten my pocket knife in there and dug the little critters out along with their frass, and I showed the customer the damage. Now, what do you do about that? Well, the imidacloprid is one.
Mm-hmm.
We will want to do probably an application at this point in time, but the damage has already been done. So it'll be a preventative thing for the next spring, actually. And then another application of that in the spring, depending on the formulation. You want to look at the instructions carefully. Some of them say you do this for every 12 months, and some of them say do it every 6 months. So you want to follow the... It's a good read, and get on the recliner. You'll be there a while.
Yeah.
So, but it does... they do have specific instructions and how much to use and all that. So we were having a little bit of problem with borers on the arborvitae, which is really kind of strange.
What other plants you said you see were seeing it, and other plants as well that you don't normally see borers in? What other plants would you say that there are?
I've seen some on the saucer magnolias as well,
mm-hmm.
and some of the oak trees are affected. Now, typically, borers will operate on the southwest sector of the trunk, if you will, divide the trunk or the trunk into the compass. They're typically on the south and west side of the tree. And that's a trend that they kind of follow because it's warmer there typically.
Okay.
I don't know how they figured it out, but
southeast corner of the tree is the warmest.
Yeah, there's little bugs and little compasses out there. Okay, drill there. But it's a very, very consistent pattern with that. Another problem I've noticed, and people sometimes associate it with borers, is the presence of sapsuckers, yellow-bellied sapsuckers. And they leave a pattern to the borers, to the holes in there. So, I think I discussed that last week a little bit. We'll recap on it again because it is a subject of a lot of questioning. So that's problems we're having with the trees. Fertilizing the trees, it's a good idea to do a little bit of that also. If you keep your lawn well fertilized, your tree will be in pretty good shape. You might want to give it some supplemental potassium and phosphorus maybe, but typically if you fertilize your lawn on a regular basis, it doesn't need really the nitrogen. Mm-hmm. So you might want to augment the a little bit with some phosphorus and potassium around the tree. Or the tree spikes work out pretty well. Just drive them in the ground.
Right.
Or tree fertilizer. We have it in a big old bag.
Is it a yellow bag?
No. It's a green and white bag. And has a picture of a tree on it.
Who would have guessed?
Yeah, right. Come on. So anyway. But most of the time in the 16 years I've lived in the house I live in now, I've never fertilized the trees, and they do just fine. They get plenty from the grass.
Mm-hmm. Well, Larry, I think we are at 10 minutes. We'll go ahead and take another quick break,
okay,
we'll get back to it right here on your radio with the Green Country Gardener.
Hi, this is Brian Ballard with Broman Chevrolet Buick in beautiful Independence, Kansas. We have a fantastic selection of new and used vehicles, including GM certified. Just head north and watch your prices go south at Broman Chevrolet Buick in Independence, Kansas. At Broman Chevrolet Buick, you do not have to pay extra taxes. You only pay in Oklahoma where you live. We will treat you the way you want to be treated at Broman Chevrolet Buick in Independence, Kansas, where we're making car buying fun again. You can reach us at 620-331-4700 or 24/7 online at romansgm.com.
Jan, we are so excited for our new event hosted by Green Country Village.
Yes, Hillary, it's coming up quickly. Green Country Village's inaugural car show to benefit Alzheimer's awareness.
It's called Memories Matter, Cars for a Cause, and it's Saturday, October 12th from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Green Country Village.
There's no pre-registration for cars, so bring your prized car, truck, or motorcycle by 8 a.m. so you can be eligible for the many great prizes and trophies. Registration is $30 per vehicle.
Bring the family for lots of good music, great cars, fun food, and more. We'll be selling t-shirts to benefit Alzheimer's awareness too.
There's no charge for visitors. There's something for everyone. Donations will be accepted for the Alzheimer's Association.
Come schedule a personalized experience of Green Country Village to see for yourself what a great senior living community we are.
We are conveniently located off of Washington Boulevard on Swan Drive, just south of Walmart.
For more information, call Green Country Village.
Join us for the fun Saturday, October 12th at Green Country Village from 9 to 2.
Visit Peter's True Value at their new location in Dewey and find great values at excellent prices. Peter's carries a full range of Bonanza minerals and feeds from Mid-America Feeds in Tallulah. Need a new weed eater? Peter's now is an authorized Echo brand dealer carrying weed eaters and more. Check out their other new departments too, like lawn and garden. They've even got expanded inventory throughout the store, so you'll always find just what you need. Get more out of your shopping day with new hours of 8 to 7 Monday through Friday and Saturday 8 to 5. That's Peter's True Value, 1865 North Osage, Highway 75 in Dewey. Peter's True Value. Start right. Start here.
And welcome back to the Green Country Gardener. I'm Garrett Giles, the Double G. We got Larry Glass, the man with the emerald thumb, with us. And if you'd like to have any of your gardening questions answered, feel free to call us at 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. Those numbers again, 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. We've talked so far about fertilizing trees. We've talked about borers. We've also talked about gardening a little bit, as well as fescue grass. What can you tell me about roses?
Roses are red.
the violet's still blue? I can't.
Yes, well, actually, they come in all kinds of colors. We'll get into that later. Roses are coming in different colors. But anyway, roses, you don't want to do any heavy pruning on it right now because you'll diminish the show in the fall. Uh-huh. Now that it's cooling down a little bit, they're going to... And notice people's knockouts are really putting on a pretty good show right now. And I've noticed a little bit of a decline in this rosette's disease also. Mm-hmm. So perhaps it's just going to pass its, you know, just run its course and run on out of here maybe. So, but anyway, so really you don't want to do a lot of roses. Maybe a fertilizer at this point in time, a rose fertilizer, because we have a burst of blooms in the fall on the roses. Mm-hmm. And you want to encourage them a little bit, and it makes them a little stronger going into the winter. And then after we've had a good freeze and they all look kind of gnarly and frozen, then they cut them back. But roses, typically, I found that I like to trim them back in August.
Okay.
Do a heavy pruning on your knockout roses in August. And what that does is it gives, I did it on Julia too, poor thing. But anyway, it gives them a chance to regrow and develop before the fall season hits with the roses. And I was at a customer's house and said, well, you want I think I want to trim my roses back. Can you do that? And I said, no, I won't do that right now because
you can't.
You don't have any flowers, you know. Just wait a little while. Wait till after it freezes. And then we pruned his roses in June. And I said, and said, call me next year in late July and August. Then we'll do a heavy pruning on the knockout roses and then put on a really good show in the fall. And then you won't have to do it next spring. Just a occasional dieback and stuff here on them. So outside of just some fertilizing and maybe a little bit of cleanup on it, all the typical stuff, look for conflicting wood on the stems.
Okay.
And cut all that so they don't rub against each other and all that. It's just not much to do with roses right now, just a minor pruning here and there, some summer cleanup of dead stuff and all that. So anyway, roses are pretty easy. Go ahead and I continue the insect. Stuff.
Actually, we do have a caller if you want to get to that really quick before we get to the insects. Good morning, caller. You're on the Green Country Gardener. How can we help you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
It sounds like everybody's either at the fair or still asleep. I would have a lot of questions for Lynn. When the bulbs start going in this early, or should you wait till
late,
and then get them in?
Late September.
Because I'm always afraid that they might start blooming.
Oh, no.
The way our weather is, it was so warm last year.
Yeah, they know better than that. So
they do?
Yeah, the increasing length of day. When they come up, they kind of sense the length of day. And they come up and they kind of stay there, if you recall, from the winter or early winter in the spring. They really don't grow that much. And then all of a sudden, something just makes them grow. And typically, that's the photoperiod that causes that to happen. So, yeah, you can plant them right now. The earlier you plant them, the better the root system will be, and the stronger the stronger the flowers will be, and the sturdier the plant will be. So,
yeah, I've been told, of course, it wasn't a Larry Classic. They told me that it was, you know, it was another lady who said she put hers in, they started blooming before winter even got here.
Well, yeah, and the weather can have an effect on that, but it's very rare when that happens.
Well, I'll do what you said.
Now, it could be that her roses might have been, if she has paper whites, perhaps, they will do that because when you get them, they're already forced and ready to bloom.
No, I'm talking about bulbs that we put in this spring.
Oh, spring.
I mean, it's all for to come up next spring.
Right, the tulips and the daffodils and whatnot.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to get those in the ground pretty quick because they're dormant when you get them.
Okay. Yeah, because I've had bought some in a garage sale, just been sitting on a shelf and plant them, and they come up.
Right. Well, if they've been on the shelf for an extended period of time, they are going to want to, they survive, so they do come up.
Yeah, it did for me. I was really surprised.
Yeah. So, September, October into November, early part of December, that's kind of the window to put them in.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for calling. And rule of thumb on the bulbs when you plant them as deep as the bulb is tall. For instance, you have a bulb that's 3 inches. You go about 3 inches deep or so.
Okay.
Or just look at the instructions on it. But typically they have different, on the little bags you get, they have a little scale which shows how deep to plant them. That's typically what you do.
Yeah.
So you could go even deeper, 6 inches deep at the most. But our soil is kind of kind of heavy here, and it just might kind of rot. So you don't want to go too deep. and with all the rain you guys have given us,
maybe hold back on sharpening your shovels too much.
So typically double the height. A daffodil bulb is about four inches, so you can go down to 8 inches deep at least. So
okay. Cool. I had a question on the roses, too. Yes. You were saying to hold back on pruning because of the blooming for the roses.
Right.
Until they kind of, like, frost over. When do you think the first frost might be?
Oh, Halloween.
Halloween? Okay. Uh-huh. Okay, that's coming up pretty fast, actually.
Yes, we have 30 days.
Yes.
So you can still get in maybe some beans. I know you can get some radishes in the garden, and it's time to plant peas. Mm-hmm. If you don't mind food that rolls around in the knife, you know.
Yeah, that's fair.
But that's and cold crops, you can get the plants, put them in still. But you're running out of time on that, too. So you want to get that in. The spinach and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You can get that planted. So.
Yeah, it's getting pretty cold.
You might get enough time to get some rutabagas, perhaps.
Okay.
And turnips, your turnips should be up and doing real well right now, but and if it doesn't freeze, you can probably still get a few bush beans in. Maybe that's really cutting it close, though.
It is definitely cutting it close.
Yeah, I know radishes, no problem. You can plant. I've planted them in the middle of winter. They do just fine.
Radishes are kind of the tough, like
they take 3 days for them to sprout. They're up real quick.
Yeah.
So and then they grow and develop quickly. So. So if you want to have a demonstrator garden, you might consider some radishes. The kids can pull them up and eat them and go, yeah.
Please no.
No, I'm not going to grow those. So we've talked about roses and vegetables. Tree of the week is a red maple.
Mm-hmm.
It's a rubrum hardiness zone 3 to 9. So it grows plumb way down south and quite a bit up north. Down south, they're a native plant. There's a lot of them. A lot of red maples grow down there. I know my daughter's place in Charleston, a lot of native maple trees growing around there, too. So anyway,
mm-hmm.
So they're very broad area in which they can grow. They, of course, are deciduous. It means they lose their leaves.
Right.
So moderate to rapid growth rate, depending on the variety. The Freeman Eye variety of the red maples, this is actually a cross between a red and a silver maple, grow rather quickly. They have a pretty good branching structure, too. They follow through with that characteristic on that and the rate of growth of a silver maple. So they're noted for the good fall color, too. So that would be one on the rapid end. A moderate end would be like a October Glory or Red Sunset maple. That would be a more or less a moderate growth, not really super rapid, but moderate. I've had my October Glories in the front yard survive all these storms without any problems. So typically slow to grow, they're pretty strong.
Yeah, maples are pretty strong.
They can be. The branching structures are very important. You want to, as when they're young, you want to try to encourage a central leader. And when they get older, they kind of have a split leader. So you're in a bucket truck, and you don't want a split leader. So.
Right.
So you want to try to maintain a good, strong growth. They're kind of a medium texture plant. In other words, the leaves aren't overly large. They're not too small. So they're sort of a medium texture. And their form, they're somewhat pyramid shaped when they're young. In other words, they ascend very quickly to compete with each other against the light. And then they get broader as they get older. So they will grow quickly vertically and not be very attractive when they're young. A lot of trees are like that, but they grow quickly upright and they spread out over time. So it's kind of an irregular rounded crown.
Mm-hmm.
They get up to 40 to 60 feet depending on variety and 25 to 45 feet depending on the depending on the variety also. There are some fastigiated forms of the red maple. There's some at the library.
Right.
Fastigiated means narrow and upright. So if you have a situation where you need a narrow, upright plant, you might consider getting an upright growing maple tree.
Almost sounds righteous.
Fastidiated. So they grow upright. One of my favorite trees is the upright oak, the English oak, and they are very narrow and upright. There's some good specimens here in town. Mm-hmm. So anyway, the leaf is typically 2 to 5 inches, and they're opposite, meaning they're on the, if you for identification, they occur opposite each other on the stem. Okay. 3 to 5 lobes, often triangular shape, and the fall color is variable, actually from tree to tree, yellow to yellow, green, orange, red colors. But it can vary from one tree to the next in a row. You can have, oh, this is a really nice red one, and this is, you know, there's just some minor variations in the genetics that would cause that to happen. And, of course, it has the little seeds that really gig around and
I hate to cut you off, Larry, but we should probably take a break here
in
a minute.
Okay, go ahead.
And we'll be right back with more. Mm-hmm.
We can talk about some varieties a little bit later on.
Let's do that.
Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has summer sale items to get your garden growing. Save 30% off select trees in stock. Save 30% off crepe myrtles, butterfly bushes, hydrangeas, clematis, gardenias, grapes, and herbs. Get flowering baskets at $14.99 for a 10-inch basket and $19.99 for a 12-inch basket. Check out their glass and metal art, too. 30% off. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road. Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants and more. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5:30, Sunday, noon to 5.
Don't paint yourself in a corner. Call LPL Painting and Company, professionally painting in the Bartlesville area for 20 plus years. All finishes, all surfaces, perfection corner to corner. You'll find their portfolio online or on Facebook. LPL Painting and Company, that's LPL Painting and Company, fully insured, offering free estimates. Just call 918-214-1999 for consult and estimate.
Christy, Mutual's having a fun girls' night out event to benefit Mutual.
Yes, grab your girlfriends and join us for Pursuing Purpose on Thursday, October 24th, 6:30 at Mutual on Price Road, hosted by Christina Tate and you, Dory Potter.
Enjoy desserts and mocktails in vintage stemware that you'll get to take home. There'll be a fun designer purse silent auction, plus a grand prize drawing for an exclusive designer handbag, courtesy of Dillard's, and one from Personality of Tulsa. Stride Bank and the radio stations will be offering some big bills hidden in some of the purses in the auction.
We'll offer tours of our building, the former canteen, and ladies can learn more about the many programs Mutual is offering.
Tickets are available for $20 at Mutual or online at mutualbartlesville.org.
Our dessert sponsors include Dusty Rose Cakes, Monica Simpson, Food Pyramid, Sugarica, and Egbert's.
Don't miss the fun Pursuing Purpose on Thursday, October 24th at Mutual.
And welcome back to the Green Country Gardener on your radio. I'm Garrett Giles. We have Larry Glass with us, the man with the emerald thumb. We're taking your calls about your gardening questions, and we do have a caller on the line, so we'll take that. Good morning, caller. You're on the Green Country Gardener.
Good morning again. I'm your third time.
Well, I should say.
Looks like I got it to myself this morning.
Sounds like
The green onions, the Indian onions, they call them, or wild ones.
Uh-huh.
When I first moved to my place, they were everywhere, and I dug them out, and they stayed away for about 2 years, and they're back.
Ah, they're back.
Is it digging them out the only way?
Digging them out is one way. You can use a dandelion killer on them, and that should wipe them out.
Really?
They're a dicot, and they're susceptible to Trimec 2,4-D. Things like that. They'll curl up. They look like little curly things out there after you just put it on there, and then they'll just die off.
Well, it's too late to graft them now, but it's going to be 70 at night.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like to cut them, actually, and chop them up with my eggs in the morning. They're pretty good.
Well, those are pretty good.
Oh, I did not like onions for 2 weeks after I dug them out.
Oh, well, you get tired of it after a bit, yes.
Yeah, well, when you mow, you can smell the onion, too.
Yeah.
So. Okay, but right now, we're not really going to be 70 at night for them to kill them, right?
It's not going to be what at night to kill them? Too cold?
Well, 70, my brother kept saying, I sprayed my yard 3 times 1 year, and I said, it's not 70. The night, you've got to get it up to 70. before that stuff will work.
Okay. I don't know if that's really very true anymore with some of the newer ones.
Mm-hmm.
There's one called Trimec, and actually we use it in the spring to kill dandelions and things, but it's still relatively cool.
Is that over the counter?
Uh-huh. It's Trimec, yeah. It's pretty common. It's three different formulations of 2,4-D, and it's rather effective. And if it's not working, perhaps your target pest might have some hairs on it, and you might want to look at it real closely after you apply and see if it's actually sticking to the plant.
Now, is it do in the morning or after it dries out?
You want to let it dry out. The dew will dilute it quite a bit, too. So.
Okay.
But if it's not sticking to the plant, you might want to augment it with a surfactant of some kind to help it stick to the plant.
When I get desperate, I take a little cutty paintbrush with 100% Roundup.
Yeah.
And touch it.
Well, yeah, not Roundup. The Roundup will kill everything.
Well, I mean, I touch the leaf.
Okay, with the Roundup.
I don't touch the ground.
Well, yeah, that should work against it also.
Yeah, but there's a bunch of.
Well, keep in mind the onions have a fairly good sized root, and the Roundup will be less effective because of that.
Okay.
That's why I say a hormone type herbicide like 2,4-D or Trimec will work to control that. Mm-hmm. Works differently.
When the sage grass comes up, sometimes I used to call it water grass. No. Sage.
Oh no, nut sedge. Yeah, that they won't take that out. No, the Trimec won't kill the nut grass. You need there's another one you use for that. I can't think of the name of it right now, but it there is one that we have it at the nursery called Sedgender, and
okay.
it'll control that. So
okay, it seems to show up here a lot, and it usually starts. Where the water sets the most.
Right. Nutgrass likes it really wet. If we have a dry year, we don't have much of a problem with nut sedge. But we've had a superfluous amount of rain this year. So and people are having the nut sedge problems all over town.
Well, I had my yard twice when I get so much of it, I can't handle it.
Yeah. You fertilize your grass very often?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, there is this product called Sedgender. I just can't think of the name of the chemical right now, but it is designed to control nut sedge.
Okay. So, you spread it?
You what now?
You put it in a spreader?
You spray it.
Spray it?
Uh-huh. You do a specific application on the nut sedge plants itself. Okay.
Appreciate it. Well, I've got you all to myself today. Good night.
I should say.
I'll give somebody else a chance.
All right, very good. Thank you for calling.
All right, Larry, I think we need to take one more break, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
You've always wanted. Look to 400 series windows and patio doors from the brand trusted by builders and remodelers Anderson. With variety, style, and time-tested performance, it's no wonder they're our most popular windows and doors. 400 series windows and doors from Anderson. Why choose anything else? See Anderson Windows at Overlee's Woods Lumber Company on Nowata Road in Bartlesville.
In 1930, Frank Phillips received a very special gift from some very dear friends. During a ceremony surrounded by 1,500 guests, Frank was adopted into the Osage tribe by Chief Fred Lookout and given the name of Eagle Chief by the Osage. This marked the first time that the Osage had ever adopted a white person into their tribe. Chief Lookout gave the newest Osage chief the gift of a pony, a saddle, and a single eagle feather. The saddle had been in Lookout's family for over 100 years. Frank Phillips received a telegram from a famous man and dear friend saying, "Sorry I can't make it. The Osage were always the smartest Indians in America. There are 120 million white men, and they pick out the best one to make an Osage chief. Best regards to all Osages, including Frank, from the renegade Cherokee, Will Rogers." That kind of magic still happens every day at Willow Rock. Welcome home to Willow Rock.
And we're back with the Green Country Gardener, Larry Glass. Closing seconds. Larry, your thoughts.
GG, we had a good show. Nice being here. And come by and check out the pansies and the most beautiful mums in town at Green Thumb Nursery.
Yes, sir. And always, what is it?
Keep your shovel sharp.
Keep your shovel sharp.
See you next week.
We sure will. That was Green Country Gardener. Thank you, Larry Glass, for being in with us this morning.
What does your homeowner's insurance cover? Call Phoenix Insurance for a quote at 918-336-5460. This is KWL.